Welcome, Siouxland Catholic Radio listeners, to Faith in Action, a show locally produced here at Channel 88.1 FM. It airs every Monday at 9 a.m. and replays every Saturday at 7 p.m. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm a Siouxland Catholic Radio board member, and I'm your host for today's show. And I am just delighted that you set your dials to 88.1 FM and are joining us for this program. Thank you so very much. Well, we have someone in the studio today that's going to give us some information about our only Catholic hospital, Mercy Medical Center, here in Sioux City, Iowa. And so I welcome to the show Mary Hendricks. She is Director of Mission Integration, and that's a fancy title for something, and I'm thinking it has to do with the volunteer aspect.
Sure. Well, my role is a part for about the volunteers, but it has many other facets of my role, and so I've been part of the volunteer program for the last couple of years.
Okay. So, well, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you went to school, stuff like that.
Okay. I grew up in Storm Lake, Iowa, born and raised in Storm Lake, and then went to school in Northwest Missouri State for my undergrad for speech pathology. And then went to University of Northern Iowa, where I received a master's in speech pathology. Went to work, first of all, in Storm Lake at the Area Education Agency with small children. And worked there for a year, and then my husband was transferred here to Sioux City, and so we moved over here. I joined then. It was Mercy Medical Center, Marion Health Center back then, actually. As a speech pathologist, I worked on the rehab unit, so I worked with patients that had brain injuries and strokes primarily. Loved that work, and then transitioned into the therapy manager position there. I took a management position elsewhere for 7 years and was recruited back to Marion Health Center and was so happy. I've been back there ever since, so I've been there now 27 years. So in the meantime, then I received a master's in health service administration. And then most recently, I have a master's now of healthcare mission from Aquinas Institute in St. Louis.
Okay. And so you kind of referred to mission integration is more than just, hey, we need some volunteers to help out. So what all encompasses mission integration then at Mercy Medical Center?
So some of the work is related to our Catholic identity, so that when you come to Mercy One now, we've changed our name a few times over the years, that you can feel the difference. You can feel the Catholic identity of the hospital by how you're treated, by how people approach their work. And you also can see it by the environment. And so you'll see the large statue of Jesus in the lobby on first floor that's welcoming everyone. Regardless of their faith beliefs. We have spiritual care that's available 24/7, and so that's part of my role as well, to support the spiritual care team. I also support the community benefit work, so we look at within our community what are some of the needs out there in our community and how can we support our community and those other agencies out in our community to meet those needs.
Okay. So what about your own faith journey? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So I loved my work in rehab and always loved that therapy work. And that role expanded. I became the director of physical medicine and rehab and had some nursing areas and really loved that work because I could see the outcome of the work in the person's lives. So you could really feel the impact. It was really the priest at church on Sundays kept speaking about asking God, what would you like me to do? And so I was really doing a lot of praying about that. I thought I was talking about my retirement work, but apparently I was supposed to make a change sooner. So I was approached about considering this position at Mercy One and just felt the calling that I needed to do this work instead. And so it required me going back to school and getting my master's in healthcare mission, and so I worked full-time and went to school as well to get that degree, and it's really been a blessing for me. It really changed my life.
Would you say it was kind of like St. Paul being knocked off the horse, or more of a gradual kind
of discernment? It wasn't quite that severe.
Okay, not that sudden. Because sometimes it is sudden for us like that, so more of a gradual kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times family can be real supportive and rah-rah, and they're out in the parking lot doing the dance of joy because, you know, they see how happy you are. And sometimes people are going, "What? You know, boy, you really seem to revel in the speech pathology, you know." And so how did your loved ones and your family and your friends view this change? I mean, this is a dramatic change that you're going from.
So I had the full support of my husband. We would talk about it after Mass every Sunday, and we were just doing a lot of praying about that. And it required a lot of changes in our life at home because I was working full-time and going to school. Now, my son had left. He had just finished his school, so he's a PA out in California. And so finished with that cost of his schooling, and then I decided to go back. And so... But my husband was just so supportive, and so was my son. And so I've just had the great support of my entire family.
Terrific.
Yeah.
So tell the listeners a little bit about, I think, volunteering at the hospital has been such a long tradition, and absolutely, you know, the Good Sisters of Mercy and the Good Sisters of St. Benedict, you know, who are responsible for St. Vincent's and St. Joseph. And then it became Marian Health Center, and then it became Mercy Medical Center, and now it's Mercy One. We try and stay on top of all of this stuff. And I loved it when you mentioned the statue, that beautiful statue of Christ as you enter. I remember that from St. Joseph Hospital, and listeners are well aware that I segue off in this program and start talking about things I remember because the show is a lot about me. And I remember, like, my grandmother being in the hospital, and I remember my dad being in the hospital, and I remember going up to St. Joe and seeing that beautiful statue. And I was so thrilled when it was moved down into the greeting area or the lobby of Mercy One, because it is such a powerful statement of really the entire mission of Mother Catherine McAuliffe, which is, you know, we serve everybody.
Absolutely.
So that was kind of a little segue. So I think the volunteer aspect is not lost on anybody who's ever had a connection with Mercy One. So explain to the listeners a little bit about how the volunteers are cultivated and how they're recruited, and in case someone's thinking to themselves, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I think I might want to do this. So what kinds of volunteer activities can they participate in, and how old can they be? And, you know, we'll get into the devil in the details, the little logistics of it all.
So first of all, we'd love to have more volunteers join us at Mercy One. It's a way of giving back to your community and showing thanks for some of us that have received care at Mercy One over the years. So the age limit, it begins at 16.
Okay.
So and then it goes up from there. We don't have any maximum age there, so we have really a wide variety of ages there. And we really talk to the volunteer to see what their interests are and what they'd like to serve in, and then try to meet those, what their interests and the needs within Mercy One, and put those two together. So we have some volunteers. Just yesterday we had a volunteer that brought her therapy dog with her.
Oh.
And she comes in and she supports the patients and families. And yesterday she came in particular, since the pandemic, we've had her come in to support the colleagues. So to help with some of their stress.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I remember I did a story on, there was a therapy dog in the area where individuals needed to talk about some of their mental health challenges. And they not only had kind of a little vest for the dog had his own name tag.
Yes.
He was a beagle. No, he was a basset hound. And I'd have to Google, because it's just that far enough back that I can't remember. And he would basically lay at the feet of somebody, and that was such a comfort. And I think we forget, too, that, you know, therapy dogs are a big deal now. I mean, we see them all at nursing homes and at our healthcare facilities, and they help.
They do help. So just yesterday I met the dog and the volunteer there, and the dog just immediately put his face right next to my leg. And you could just feel that comfort. So Yeah, it was wonderful. So you're right about the name tags. Mm-hmm. She called me this morning, and she needs a name tag for her second therapy dog, and so they were coming to Human Resources today to get the name tag for the second dog.
Oh, that's perfect. So now, listeners, don't think your dog can qualify for something like this. Therapy dogs are very specifically trained, but maybe yours is a therapy dog. And so, again, farther on in the program, we will give you the way to contact Mary if you are saying to yourself, you know, I'm kind of intrigued. I think I'd like to reach out and maybe offer myself as a volunteer. So we will give a phone number and an email address, and that way, you know, you can contact Mary. But as you know, if you listen to this program, we always take a short break to give a shout out to our underwriters, our supporters, do some public service announcements. And today we're going to do something just a little bit different. We are going to tag team. And so I have another co-host with me today. And guess what? You need to stay tuned to know more about what we're doing, because we will be right back.